Sports meets life with an unbiased perspective. This is your wake-up call with Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of the Dan Tortora Broadcast Media family. Here with you every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. And if there's a leap year, we add on February 29th as well. My godmother actually born on February 29th, so every 4 years she says she has a birthday. So she's not that old right now, which is good. Either way, she's not that old, but she likes to keep her age a secret, and if you follow the four-year rule, well, then that cuts it down a little bit for her. So hope she doesn't mind that I put that out there. But sometimes she celebrates it on March 1st. Either way, we're here with you every single day, and I love my godmother. Just want to let her know that. Looking at what we can do here now on WakeUpCallDT.com, you can listen to any show at any given time. I know that you're busy. We have busy schedules. You have to go to work. You have to take care of your parents. You know, if you're in that case where you have, you know, parents that are getting older, you have to take care of your children. Maybe you're bringing someone to soccer practice, somebody to basketball practice. You want to go out. You want to have a good time. You're having a good night out with your boyfriend or girlfriend. You're studying for finals. Whatever it may be, you get busy at times. We all have moments where we're busy. And this allows you to have me at any given time, any interview, any time, any show right here on your schedule. You don't have to turn on a dial at that specific time. You don't have to tune in your station on television at a specific time. I'm here with you when you have time. So whether it's right when it comes out or a few days later, a couple hours later, whatever it may be, this on WakeUpCallDT.com allows you the opportunity to get in touch with me at any time and never miss a moment of the sports information, the quips, the jokes, everything that we do here on the show, the annoying moment of the week, tweet of the week, art of leadership, so many different things, the path to hope from Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy. You never get to miss a moment. And now I am very proud to announce for the first time on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora here on WakeUpCallDT.com that we now have an iPhone app and an Android app. Two different ways to get in touch with the show. If you have an iPhone, all you have to do is go to WakeUpCallDT.pod, P-O-D, Bean.com. WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. And all you have to do there is click quick launch and you can get it. That's the fast way to get to it, or you can search for it. But the easy way to do it on an iPhone, WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. Quick launch is all you have to click after that, and you will automatically have the app right on your phone, so you don't have to do anything. All you do is you just click on the Wake Up Call app right there on your phone, and you choose the show you want to listen to, and it works just like that. You just hit the show, hit play, and there you are. Going for a jog, you're in your car, you want to plug it into your auxiliary cable and listen to it in the car like traditional radio. Whatever you want to do, folks, the iPhone app is there. And coming very shortly, for Android users, we have the Android app, which allows you to get all of the shows all the time, folks. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. So if you have an iPhone, if you have an Android, the app has over 2,000 available devices that it can be used on. So no matter what type of phone you have or, you know, whatever device that you're using, you can get Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora and all the exclusive interviews. Everything you get on WakeUpCallDT.com, you can now get right on your phone in a very easy way. We're already on iTunes. Now we're on your iPhone as an app. We'll be on the Android as an app. And you can, of course, come to WakeUpCallDT.com. Plenty of ways to get involved with the show. That Android app will be coming up very soon. Stay tuned for instructions on how to get it on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT and on Twitter at CallDT. That's C-A-L-L-D-T. So very proud to announce for the first time once again, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Everything that I do with that show, with the exclusive interviews, every single piece of audio content that I have here on WakeUpCallDT.com is now on your iPhone as an app and will be on your Android as an app as well. So now we have apps for every single show that's done here on WakeUpCallDT.com. A phenomenal, phenomenal moment. Never saw this happening. You know, technology, when I started doing this, wasn't even here, I don't think. So, you know, when I started broadcasting in 2003. So, I can't, you know, I really don't. I don't have words. All I could say is I'm very blessed by God, and that is an extreme understatement. And I hope that you enjoy everything that I put out there. I really hope that it touches your life. I hope it makes you laugh. I hope it makes you think. I hope it makes you cry some happy tears, or, you know, cry some tears in appreciation, you know, hearing from the Boston Marathon survivor and other interviews that we do. Mike Kitt's coming on and talking about how much his family means to him, being an NCAA referee, and just really being a very wholesome guy. So, you know, I really hope that this show touches your life in a positive way. I hope it's a good release for you. I hope it's a good avenue to go to. I hope that the things that I say and do, you respect and appreciate. And I want you to know that I work very, very hard, tirelessly, to not only go after my dreams, but to help you reach yours and to help you know that you're not alone. Because there's many times in my life where I felt like I was, not because I didn't have loved ones, just because the world gets tough. The world gets tough sometimes. It gets crazy. It gets very heavy on your shoulders. And so I just want you to know that when you listen to this show, when you listen to any show, that I'm lightening that burden, trying to lighten that burden for you, and to give you an opportunity to be happy, to live instead of survive, to live instead of just feeling like you're getting closer to death. You know, some people, this world gets you so depressed and so down, but there's really no reason to be. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of things that are going on, but there's no reason to get down. There's no reason to get depressed. You know, you have to strive to appreciate the time you have, because you never know when the time is done, and you never know when God's going to say, all right, it's time to come home. And I know that I went through parts of my life where, you know, I don't think I appreciated every day. I know I didn't. I know that I lived a lot of times sad, down, feeling like I was in a black hole. And I've been through it, and I'm here to uplift you. I'm here to uplift myself, to do what I love, and to really just have fun. And I cannot thank you. I know I do all the time, but I cannot thank you enough for listening in right now and truly being supportive of my dream that has taken so many different paths and avenues and now is turned into the ownership of my own company, which is something that I, you know, this is something that I don't know if I ever saw happening. I know the paths I wanted to take, but to actually sit here and have Dan Tatora broadcast media, it really is unbelievable to me. And I have barely scratched the surface. So let's get into it, folks, and let's get going here. And I hope that you follow me on my journey and know that I'm there with you on yours. No matter what you're doing or how tough it gets sometimes, tune into the show. Give yourself an opportunity to relax, and let's have some fun. And we'll start here with getting into the draft. This is a draft special. We're continuing here. Let's have some fun with this. Going through the draft, I broke down the first three rounds. It took some time to research and get my thoughts together on what I took from the first three rounds as we get ready for the final day. And if you're listening to this after the final day, still important here to look back at the draft. So looking at the first three rounds of what I saw in this 2013 NFL draft, we'll start obviously with the first round. And the first round really was the round of the line. Not just the offensive line, but the defensive line, too. Defensive line had 9 players taken out of college from the defensive line, be it a defensive end or a defensive tackle. The offensive line had 8 players taken, offensive guards, offensive tackles, and 1 center that went to the Dallas Cowboys in the first round, desperately in need of a center because the Dallas Cowboys had some botched snaps there, had some issues. They had some, you know, obviously they had injuries. That's going to affect the team. And when you have injuries, you want to make sure that you have people ready to go on the bench. Not so much the case. They had a lot of trouble. Travis Frederick joins the Cowboys. The pick came with help from the 49ers, the 31st pick in the NFL draft, the 31st pick overall for 2013, a center out of Wisconsin, 6'4", 312 pounds. And so we'll see what he can do and if he can help the Cowboys with their woes and help protect Tony Romo and maybe help protect a running game if Jerry Jones ever decides he wants to run the ball. So going back and looking at this round with obviously Frederick being one of the linemen chosen, looking at this opening round of the 2013 NFL draft, 17 linemen chosen out of the first 32 picks of the draft. It's more than half of the first round going to linemen, being on the offensive line or the defensive line. Five offensive tackles chosen to two defensive tackles. So the offensive tackle, a big position taken in the first round of the 2013 NFL draft. Three of the first four picks were offensive tackles, not just offensive linemen, offensive tackles. First seven picks were all on the line for this opening round. One quarterback chosen, not Matt Barkley, not Geno Smith, not Ryan Nassib. It's E.J. Manuel out of Florida State. Surprising pick here. The Buffalo Bills had the eighth pick. They give that to the Rams, who go and get Tavon Austin, the first wide receiver taken off the board, the first of three in the opening round of the 2013 NFL draft. The Rams going after that, the olden days, I would say, with Kurt Warner, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holtz. They're going for that speed. So they get Tavon Austin. Look like they want to be an electrifying offense, want to be a fast-paced offense. So you see Tavon Austin go there. The Bills trade down. And when the Bills did this, my original thought was, could the Bills take Ryan Nassib at eight? Yes, because I thought they were sold on him, obviously with the majority of the Bills staff being from the Syracuse Orange and coaching Ryan Nassib all throughout his collegiate career with Doug Marone there and offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach Nathaniel Hackett. So I thought they were sold on Ryan Nassib. And then I said, well, they could get him at eighth, but they're going to take so much ridicule for that. So they should probably take their second round pick and trade up and get into the bottom part of the first round because Ryan Nassib will still be there. That's my thought. Now, when they traded down to 16, they did it the other way. Instead of trading up from the second round, they traded down from the first round. So here my thought goes, okay, well, this makes sense still. 16th pick, Ryan Nassib, maybe could have gone a little bit lower, but this can make some sense here. And they draft E.J. Manuel, which to me made no sense. And now I've seen E.J. Manuel play, not a ton, you know, but did see E.J. Manuel in the opening part of his collegiate career, I'll say, around that time. So I've never really been sold on E.J. Manuel. Maybe he can shock me. I obviously need to see more. I know better, and I'll be honest, I know better about Ryan Nassib than I know about E.J. Manuel. But this is a guy that's going to the Buffalo Bills. Kevin Cobb is already there. Tavarius Jackson is already there. Tavarius Jackson, to me, is going to have to do a lot. Kevin Cobb showed me a lot of good signs, but he needs offensive line protection. E.J. Manuel, I don't know. I mean, this is a guy who, can he run? Can he be a dual threat? Can he help out this fast-paced style offense that I'm thinking, this no-huddle, fast-paced style Syracuse, the former Syracuse coaches led by Doug Marone who wanted to institute on the Bills. And the reason why I think that even more is with some of their later picks within the first three rounds, which we'll talk about coming up here on WakeUpCallDT.com. This is a special Wake Up Call with Dan Totoro from Dan Totoro Broadcast Media. E.J. Manuel, first quarterback off the board, completely surprised by this, as I was saying before. Not something I really considered was going to happen. Just a very surprising pick, if I have to be completely honest here. And I think a lot of people were surprised. You know, there's a lot of questions of, you know, why would you draft somebody like this? You know, so it's just interesting because I think Matt Barkley is overly talked about, you know, as far as needing to go in the top three rounds or going to go in the top three rounds, I should say. It's just, to me, Matt Barkley, I'm not sold on him at all. And the reason being is that I think that, you know, when you look at quarterbacks who they try to take down, you try to tear a quarterback down by saying, well, you know, their environment made them successful. Well, you could say that in the case of a guy like Matt Barkley. His environment made him successful. He had Robert Woods on one side. He had Mark Heasley on the other side. It's speed. He gives him, you know, he hands off the ball on a reverse or goes ahead and throws a two-yard pass. They take it 70 yards. They take it 80 yards. So where is this Matt Barkley, who's this prolific passer who's going to do so many great things, that he's so much better than Ryan Nassib? I think Ryan Nassib is a better quarterback by far compared to Matt Barkley. I think that Ryan Nassib, as far as mentally knowing the game, his preparedness, his understanding of the game, his ability to lead a team on comebacks, to not give up, which is something that I think he was doing, or the offense as a whole, the team as a whole, was doing before this past season. You know, he's grown into this leader where he can lead comebacks. He doesn't give up. If the team's down by, you know, a certain number of points, you know, be it a touchdown, a field goal, two touchdowns, that he makes it a fight. This is a guy who will challenge a defense and keep going after a receiver who's hot instead of shying away from them in fear that, you know, they're going to be covered more or whatever that may be. He has the wherewithal to throw to somebody that he knows pass interference is going to be called. And you can call it a coincidence that he throws at a receiver and pass interference is called because that safety or that corner is holding the receiver. If that happens once, twice, whatever. But throughout his entire final season with Syracuse, throws into the end zone, pass interference, sees, you know, that receiver there, the receiver on the sideline, the receiver in the field. Numerous times he threw to receivers that were getting interfered with. So I think that, you know, Ryan Nassib doesn't only get first downs by completing passes and running the ball, but he gets first downs by understanding what's going on the field. And to see the field as faceted as it is, moving, to survey the field and say, okay, maybe I don't have any receiver here, so I'm going to throw it out to Alec Lemon because I know that this guy's holding him. You know, I think that really shows something that stood out to me. I don't think it's talked about enough, but I definitely saw it because, you know, when you write down 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 different examples of this happening, to me it's not a coincidence. I also think, you know, Ryan Nassib has a lot of strength. I believe he does have a strong arm. I think he can get the ball down the field. I think one of the biggest positives with him is that he spreads the ball around. When you look at his first, you know, three or so games to open up this last season he had with Syracuse, he's throwing to 8 or 9 receivers. You know, you look at, and not just the wide receivers, but throwing to, you know, 8 or 9 guys out there in the field, be it a running back, be it a tight end. He's really just, he knows how to deliver the ball, but to not just consider one person his target. So spreading the ball around makes it really hard. I mean, think about it. If you have two receivers and you're only throwing to those two guys, or you're throwing to one of them, your dominant person, your number one, then obviously defenses can make up for that somewhere, or at least attempt to, makes it easier on them. When you're a quarterback and you're throwing to your fullback, your tight end, your running back, your other running back, your 3 or 4 wide receivers, now you're making it that they have to go after every single person that has the opportunity to catch a pass. That besides the offensive line, they now have to look outside of those 5 guys to everybody else that's on the field at the time. So I think that Ryan Nassib does a good job of knowing all of his receivers, knowing his running backs, knowing the tight ends, knowing strength and weaknesses, knowing where he could go with the ball, not telegraphing his passes like he used to, surveying the field quicker than he used to. Being able to throw on the run is something that I thought he did really well in his second to last season at Syracuse. I think it went down a little bit at times in his senior season, but to be able to roll out and run horizontally and throw vertically is something that I really like about his game. So, you know, I think, and I've said this before, and if you haven't heard me say this, I believe that Ryan Nassib is going to be the best quarterback that comes out of this class when we look back in hindsight of the 2013 class. I think he'll spend at least a decade in the NFL, and even if it takes him his first 2 seasons or so, even if he's not starting within his first couple of seasons, I believe he will be a starter. He'll get himself on the field, and I think he'll have just as good of a career as Donovan McNabb. And Rob Drummond, who's always here on WakeUpCallDT.com with Back on the Field with me, our weekly segment that we have, our weekly show that we do, when Rob and I spoke, he one-upped me and said that he thinks Ryan Nassib is going to be better in the NFL than Donovan McNabb, who made it to the Super Bowl, numerous NFC championship games, won the division of the NFC East numerous times, and really had the best years of Andy Reid's career as a head coach with Donovan McNabb there. So, you know, to say that is big, but I have a true belief in Ryan Nassib. He has definitely proven me wrong, I would say. Not wrong, but I was skeptical because of the quarterbacks that came before him, you know, R.J. Anderson, Andrew Robinson. It's really not seeing a lot from those guys. You know, Greg Paulus only had a year out there. So, you know, Troy Nunes had his moments. But to really be able to go out there for an entire game and command a team, command an offense, be a leader, I think Ryan Nassib in his senior season was better than he's ever been, and that's the best time to go into the NFL. And I think, you know, he is definitely willing to learn the game. I'm sure he's already started learning. And, you know, I think the team that picks him up is going to smirk. You know, if I'm sitting in a draft room right now and Ryan Nassib's still on the board, to me, this is a blessing. And for teams to let Ryan Nassib go in the first three rounds, to me, is crazy. But it happens. And we'll take a look at the 2012 draft here shortly to take a look at who was chosen in these late rounds that the final day, rounds 4 through 7, that were steals in hindsight. And I think Ryan Nassib is going to be one of those. I don't think Matt Barkley is going to translate, so I'm pleasantly surprised, I should say, that he has dropped down to rounds 4 through 7, because I thought that he was overly talked about, overly, you know, look at this guy, look at Matt Barkley, what he's going to be. You know, this guy's not afraid. Yeah, he didn't throw here, but he's going to be really good, and he stayed away from this in the combine, but don't worry about him because he's going to be this prolific passer. Whatever was said about him, I'm not sold on Matt Barkley. I wasn't sold on Jamarcus Russell from day one, before day one, day zero, and you know, wasn't wrong there. Just with Matt Barkley, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't think that, you know, he could have like a Matt Leinart career, in all honesty, and coming from the same school, USC. I don't see what he can be in the NFL in a positive way. I don't see him leading a team for years. I don't see him getting to a Super Bowl. I don't see him winning the Super Bowl. So, to me, Matt Barkley being in rounds 4 through 7 makes more sense to me. I wouldn't even take him, and that's no disrespect to him as a person. I would not take him because I don't think he would help my franchise. I know that Ryan Nassib will. I am looking at E.J. Manuel and very intrigued of this decision by the Buffalo Bills at the 16th pick. And a guy like Geno Smith, who we'll talk about a little bit later on here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Geno's another guy that I don't think is going to translate well into the NFL. And now that he's a Jet, I definitely don't think he's going to translate that well into the NFL. So we'll take a look at him. But I want to stay here in the first round and take a look at E.J. Manuel. Now, 2009... only was used sparingly. He had 2 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. 2010, used sparingly because you got to remember Christian Ponder was out there. So E.J. Manuel's kind of getting his looks, kind of getting his opportunities, only having about 100 attempts in 2009 and a little bit less than that in 2010. So in 2011, he gets himself the starting job, has over 2,600 yards, 203 completions, 65% completion percentage, a little bit better than that, and has 18 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. Now, he sacked 33 times, but he plays through it. You know, you got to look at a guy that's hit that many times. Reminds me of David Carr on the Houston Texans when they were the expansion team coming out in their first season, and knowing how many times he got hit, but kept getting up, kept going, stayed healthy for the most part. Same thing here. E.J. Manuel gets hit 33 times, keeps going. 2012, this past season, 263 completions out of 387 attempts, 68% completion percentage, exact. Over 3,300 yards, just about almost 3,400 yards. He was 8 yards shy, 23 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. So he gets progressively better, and he adds here over 700 yards onto his performance from 2011, passing yards-wise. It's a guy that can also run the ball as well, though. When you look at what he was able to do running, you know, the side of him that has become ever more important, not just for E.J. Manuel, but for any quarterback in the league to be able to run. Now, a pocket passer, I know that there's positives for that, but there's also positives for a dual threat. I like the dual threat. I think that there's a lot to say about it. I know Joe Flacco's a pocket passer, and he won the Super Bowl over Colin Kaepernick, who's a dual threat. But I think the dual threat definitely helps you out. It gives you an element to your offense that allows you to get to the Super Bowl, that allows you to get into the playoffs, because not every team can defend against it. So you look at the rushing statistics for E.J. Manuel, and we'll look to the last two seasons where he was out there more. He took over 100 attempts in 2011 and in 2012, had 4 touchdowns on the ground in both seasons. So that says something else about E.J. Manuel here and what he's been able to do. And, you know, just looking at the fact that he can score on both sides. So that's, you know, looking at passing and looking at rushing, that he is able to do that. So the Bills could be looking for that. They could be looking for that upgrade of Ryan Nassib in their mind. You know, okay, Ryan could throw the ball, but E.J. Manuel can run the ball a little bit better. So maybe that's what edged E.J. Manuel over Ryan Nassib for the Buffalo Bills. It'll be interesting to see what they can do and, you know, what they're going to be able to put forward with their training camp at St. John Fisher College in Rochester coming up shortly. Hard to believe that's just a few months away. So E.J. Manuel going in the first round. No Monty Te'o. So no Matt Barkley, no Geno Smith, no Ryan Nassib, no Monty Te'o. Nobody takes the opportunity to go after him in the first round. Now, he had an awful, awful game against Alabama in the BCS National Championship. Now, some people will look at that. You know, you look over the bulk of Monty Te'o's career, and especially in his final season, all you hear the entire season is Monty Te'o, Monty Te'o, Monty Te'o. Look at what he's done. Look at his abilities. Look at what he's capable of doing on the field. And then you have that championship game, and that's the lasting memory that people have. It's like the last time you saw somebody. Some people remember that last moment, that last look, that last walk away. And some people remember 3 months ago, 5 years ago. So, you know, it looks like a lot of the NFL was remembering that last moment with Monty Te'o, that they had a fight at the restaurant, and then Monty went and got in his car, and the NFL teams went and got in their car, and that was the last time they saw him. And so that's what they've thought about him. It's kind of what it looks like here in the first round as nobody goes after him. There's two picks that I like here in the first round. I like cornerback Xavier Rhodes, who is the 25th pick by the Vikings, who had some help from the Seahawks to get that. I'm interested in Xavier Rhodes because Florida State is a good team, and Rhodes is one of those names that I think that we're going to remember here after this draft. So the Vikings, who are one of those teams that is constantly pushing, and they're going to have to with the Green Bay Packers playing the way that they do, and if the Detroit Lions ever wake up, and if the Chicago Bears could get more offensively sound with Mark Trestman coming from the Canadian Football League to be their new head coach over the firing of Lovie Smith. So it'll be interesting to see this NFC North division, and I'm very, very interested to seeing what the defense can do and how it can be upgraded with a guy like Xavier Rhodes behind a Jared Allen, who's on there right there on the defensive line, and I think notably the best player for the Vikings. I also like the first round pick by the Cincinnati Bengals, the 21st overall pick, tight end Tyler Eifert out of Notre Dame. I like this pick because he's 6'6", 251 pounds. He joins Jermaine Gresham on the Cincinnati Bengals, who's 6'5", 260. So you have these two guys that are right around the same here, get that one more inch of height by Tyler Eifert. But I'm interested here to see if Eifert's going to be that true tight end, because Gresham's a tight end, but he's kind of treated like a wide receiver, especially early on in his career. So I'm interested to see what Jay Gruden, as the offensive coordinator, is going to do to to utilize these guys, because I think Eifert's going to be utilized with Graham early on in his career on the Cincinnati Bengals in this first season. And I'm interested also here in the Baltimore Ravens, who are in that same division of the AFC North with the Cincinnati Bengals, of their 32nd pick, the last pick of the first round, free safety Matt Elam. Now, the reason why I'm interested is because their secondary just lost Ed Reed. So to see what Matt Elam can do, to see how he's going to be utilized coming out of Florida, what can he be? So, you know, this is a defense I'm going to be paying close attention to, and that's why this Matt Elam pick is interesting to me as to how he can affect the team immediately, or if he can affect the team immediately after losing Ed Reed and also losing Ray Lewis, who's your quarterback on defense, your Mike linebacker, your guy. So that'll be something to pay attention to. We'll take a step aside here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of the Dan Tatora Broadcast Media family, to get a word from Carvel DeWitt, the home of the Wake Up Call Sunday, and Carvel Light, where you can get the same great taste of Carvel ice cream you've had since a child, and you can get it with less calories. And you'll also hear from Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy, who put me on my path to hope, and they can put you on yours by calling Monday through Friday during normal business hours, 315-652-4323. Five locations in upstate New York. They will help you get on your path to hope, as they did with me and my knee. They're helping my body. Let them help you. The wait's over, folks. If you need help, if something's bothering you, nagging you, an injury, something happened, do not be afraid to get on your path to hope. It's tough to make that first step, but once you make it, folks, I'm a living example that it's worth it. The path to hope, Carrie and Daily Physical Therapy. Give them a call Monday through Friday, normal business hours, 652-4323. You'll hear from both of them. Then we're right back at it talking about the second round of the NFL draft and my thoughts that I took from that round, all coming up here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelanche, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daily Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's C-A-R-E-Y and D-A-L-E-Y-P-T.com.
Back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of the Dan Tatora Broadcast Media family. We're talking NFL draft. We did the first round. Now it's time for the second round. Let's get going on this. In the second round, now remember, first round, offensive and defensive line. 17 of the 32 picks in the first round were on the line, either offense or defense. In the second round, different story, getting off the line, but it's defensive. 6 linebackers, 5 corners chosen in the second round. So the first round has both sides of the line. The second round goes defense, gets off that line, and gives you 6 linebackers, 5 of them being inside linebackers, and 5 corners also going. We'll start with the linebackers here. 5 inside, as I said, Monty Te'o, one of them. He goes to the Chargers, who got their pick from the Cardinals, moving up to the 6th pick of the second round, 38th overall, to get Monty Te'o, finding his way onto the San Diego Chargers. This is going to be a pick to watch. Obviously, Monty Teo is already a lightning rod. People want to know what's going on with him, this, that, and the other, whatever. But this experience in the NFL will show, does Monty Teo have talent, or was Monty Teo a good player, and then against tough competition, against Alabama, he's not going to be able to compete. So this is where it's going to get interesting. He's on a San Diego team that's trying to turn the tide, trying to get better, trying to find a way past the North Turner days and everything that's been going on with the San Diego Chargers that have always had it on paper in the last few years but have been unable to put it together. So Monty Teo, this will be a place to see what he can do and how he can compete no matter what team he went to. So I'll be watching this one closely for sure. Five corners going. The Bucs already had Darrell Revis. They trade for him as a corner. They also bring in safety who is with the 49ers, Goldson. But with bringing in Goldson and with already having Revis in there as well in the secondary, they still pick up with the 11th pick of the second round, 43rd overall, Mississippi State corner Jonathan Banks. An interesting pick here that they're really trying to stack up their secondary, but you go out and you get Revis, who's a vet. You go out and get Goldson, who's a vet. Both got Revis, in his case, being individually successful, but not the team as much with the Jets in the last few seasons. Goldson having the success of the 49ers and what they've been able to do for the last two seasons. So having both of them going out and getting Jonathan Banks with such an early pick in the second round is, in a way, to me, stating, hey, maybe this is where they're going. Maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are planning on starting Revis on one side, Banks on the other, or having Banks fill in while Revis is rehabbing if he's not ready right at the beginning. Who knows at this point? So this is going to be another area to watch for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that are really making some good decisions and helping out their secondary. We'll see what Jonathan Banks could be. I think he'll be something special for them. Just have a good feeling about Jonathan Banks. And so I'll see, as with the rest of you, if he's going to be able to get out there and really do something immediately. But you would imagine with an early pick like this that the expectation of Banks is pretty high. After no running backs chosen in the first round, five of them are chosen in the second round, folks. Five. And the first one to come off the board might surprise you. 37th overall, fifth in the second round, Giovanni Bernard out of the North Carolina Tar Heels organization. He's the first one off. Not Eddie Lacy, but this guy. Not Monty Ball, but Giovanni Bernard going in as the first running back chosen. He's going to the Bengals, who got their pick from the Raiders. 5'8", 202 pounds. Kind of sounds like the Maurice Jones-Drew type of build. He's the first running back off the board. Monty Ball drops to the lap of who other than a team that can only benefit from having a player like this. Monty Ball out of Wisconsin drops down to 26th in the second round, 58th overall. He goes to the Denver Broncos, who already have Peyton Manning, who already have a strong defense, a strong kicker in Matt Prater, who already have talent in the backfield, but it gets injured and building on wide receiver, and you just throw in a guy like that. Well, you know, Monty Ball, if we have to take him, I guess we'll take him here. Monty Ball, this could be a steal here in the second round. And Eddie Lacy, another team that's competitive that ends up with a good running back. Eddie Lacy out of Alabama getting picked 29th in the second round, 61st overall. Eddie Lacy going to the Packers in a pick that came from the San Francisco 49ers. So Monty Ball, Eddie Lacy, late second round picks could end up really helping out both of these teams, the Broncos and the Packers, who are already competing in the playoffs, to have running backs like this. If they could stay healthy, there's a good opportunity for them to be starters, with both the Broncos and the Packers struggling to keep their running backs healthy in the past few seasons. I like the pick that the Jags went with. They had the first pick of the second round. They finally started addressing their secondary themselves. We talked about the secondary, five corners going, Tampa Bay trying to help themselves out. Well, another Florida team to the north of Jacksonville, to the north of Tampa Bay in Jacksonville, getting free safety Jonathan Cyprien with that first pick of the second round. I like this coming out of Florida International. Cyprien is a guy that you're looking at. Anybody that's drafted safety or corner for the Jacksonville Jaguars could compete for those starting jobs. Derek Cox, who I thought should have been a starter for the Jaguars longer, he's gone. He's left the team. So you really don't have a lot of talent there. Rasheen Mathis has really never been a talented guy outside of maybe his first couple seasons with the Jacksonville Jaguars. A safety, not really anybody to speak too highly of. So free safety Jonathan Cyprien, this is an early pick. You'd imagine that with the first round being so much offensive line, defensive line, that type of early round where you're just looking at the line and addressing who's lining up against one another, that the Jaguars knew that they could wait on this, that Jonathan Cyprien would be a good place to fall here in that first pick of the second round to be able to get a guy like him at free safety, because corners and safeties were really untouched for the most part in the first round. So Jonathan Cyprien drops there. He drops into that first pick of the second round. Jaguars very smart to go out and get an offensive tackle, Luke Jokel, in the first round, and then kind of address it, kind of look around and say, okay, you know, this really isn't a secondary first round. It's not really welcoming to the secondary. So they wait and they get Jonathan Cyprien. And then, you know, I look at another note here. Geno Smith finally goes off the board, 39th overall, 7th in the second round. The Jets take him. Now, I've covered Jets training camp for the last few years here. Outside of the lockout year, I've covered it every year that it's been at SUNY Cortland. So the past three seasons, this will be my fourth season covering training camp, my fifth season covering the Jets and what's going on with this team. And to answer that question, what's going on with this team, I can't answer you what's going on with this team, other than the fact that if anybody on the Jets tells you that there isn't a circus type atmosphere that they like, or that, you know, the thing is, some people, some teams, some organizations don't care what you say about them as long as you talk about them. It's kind of that, you know, being famous by being infamous, so to speak. It's not necessarily that people are talking highly of you, they're just talking about you. And that is something that I see with the New York Jets. Now, this is an organization that has been good to me, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and cover them. And at the same time, I'm an impartial sportscaster, an impartial writer, and my honest feelings on the New York Jets is that they like publicity more than they like winning. You have six quarterbacks now. You have Mark Sanchez. You have Tim Tebow, who you've yet to get rid of, which makes no sense. You have Greg McElroy, who's got to be upset because he doesn't get a fair shake at anything. You have Matt Sims, the son of Phil Sims and brother of Chris, who has talent, and he's never gotten an opportunity. And outside of a couple guys getting injured, you don't know if he'll really obviously get a fair shake. David Garrard, who I think is a competitive guy, but he had his moments where David Garrard was Joe Montana, and then David Garrard was Jamarcus Russell when I covered the Jaguars as well, and still continue to cover the Jacksonville Jaguars with help from my Florida reporter, Jason Lucas. I want to thank him for everything he did this past season, and also for Nicolo Cicero, who did good work with the Jacksonville Jaguars with me and when I wasn't able to go to some games, going to those games as well. So I thank him for that. Looking at this New York Jets team, all I could say to you is that there's never a dull moment. It's kind of like going to see a movie. You know what I mean? Going to the theater. You know that you're going to be entertained. You don't know if it's going to be a great movie. You don't know if it's going to be a bad movie. You don't know if it's going to be so-so. But you know that you're going to the theater to be entertained. And that's essentially what it's like to go follow the Jets, to watch the Jets, to go to training camp, because you're going to be that's a sure bet here when you go and cover the New York Jets. Last season, going there, you know, going to training camp at SUNY Cortland and seeing all the Tebow stuff, and Tebow's taking his shirt off. Then Tebow kind of looked like he was getting, you know, kind of being that spiritual guy and being himself. When I first met Tebow, I kind of felt that. And then, you know, now I think he's kind of milking this a little bit with having the cameras around him and whatnot. Mark Sanchez does good work at training camp, has a bad season. Everybody was hating him, whether or not it was his fault. Greg McElroy wins a game and gets taken out and said, okay, well, he's not going to be the starter. Matt Sims never really had a job, never really had an opportunity. David Garrard's trying to have an opportunity. So I can honestly say that there's talent on every single quarterback that I'm naming: Mark Sanchez, Tim Tebow, Greg McElroy, Matt Sims, David Garrard. Geno Smith, it's left to be seen. I don't think he's going to translate to the NFL. I definitely don't think he's going to translate now that he's a New York Jet, because he's really not. Where this team is going to go, do they trade Mark Sanchez at this point? I'd say yes. I would not keep him. I wouldn't keep Tim Tebow. I would make this Geno Smith, Greg McElroy, Matt Sims, David Garrard. I think that that's good. I think David Garrard could be a starter. I think Geno Smith has an opportunity on this Jets team to be a starter. Mark what I said there, this Jets team to be a starter. I think Greg McElroy could be a starter, and I think Matt Sims could shock some people. I don't think he's really given a lot of credit outside of his father and outside of himself and the work that he does, but this is not a guy that you could just forget. So, and I had a good opportunity to talk with him last season at training camp, and I truly appreciate that opportunity that Matt Sims gave me and telling me that he thinks he's better than his father, Phil. So, interesting there. Phil is a Super Bowl champion and MVP with the New York Giants. So, just a little note there on Matt Sims and the thoughts that he has about his game. King to Geno Smith, the one thing I can say that is going to happen is that there's going to be plenty of media there. There's going to be plenty of people around wanting to see what he can do, what he can accomplish. Is Mark Sanchez going to be gone? All I can say is that every single season, there's never a dull moment at Jets camp because of Rex Ryan, their head coach, because of everything that is put around Mark Sanchez, who I think is really just trying to do his job. You know, they tried to make him Hollywood and tried to make him this guy that was stuck up, and he's never acted that way toward me. You know, Tim Tebow looked like he was more into the limelight than Mark Sanchez last training camp. And now you have a guy like Geno Smith coming in. So it's an open competition. The great thing about it is up and down 81 in upstate New York, there's going to be two New York competitions. There's going to be six quarterbacks competing for the Syracuse job for college, and there's going to be six quarterbacks competing potentially for the New York Jets job. So I have two competitions to look forward to, and I'm definitely looking forward to both of them. And I know that with the Jets, there's just going to be more and more stories, and just get ready for it, folks. That's all I could say. If you've never seen a circus, get ready to see the one-legged woman with three arms jump on the back of the guy that's a cyclops that only has the one eye at the top of his head, who knows someone who's half black bear, half human being, who's best friends with the Bat Boy, who can put fire in their mouth and jump 3,000 feet into the air to land into a pool filled with snakes that have the heads of women. That's all I have to say. When it comes to Jets training camp, that's what it's like, folks. So make sure you come out there and just prepare yourself for what you're about to see. You never know what's going to happen, but Geno Smith does get drafted, so I want to congratulate him on that. I don't know what this is going to look like for him. I don't know if this is a potential starting job for him. I think if Mark Sanchez goes, it is. But where the Jets go from here, they have taken so many roads that don't make sense. So I can't adequately tell you which way this car is going to be driving, because the car has been off the road for a while. I do like the Bills pick, keeping in New York wide receiver Robert Woods coming out of USC. I think Doug Marrone's got to be ecstatic, probably big grin on his face, jumping out of his seats. And I'm surprised he could sit in a chair with this pick. Ninth in the second round, 41st overall. Robert Woods, the guy that did so well against Syracuse when Syracuse was playing USC at MetLife Stadium last season. This is a guy who, you know, you kind of just, I could picture Doug Marrone with his lips watering saying, you know, if Robert Woods is here, we've got to take Robert Woods, because to have the opportunity, I think honestly Doug Marrone having that opportunity to coach him, to coach Robert Woods, you want to have a fast offense. This guy's going to help you be fast. So this is a good pick for the Buffalo Bills. It really needs something electrifying to wake up the offense. So that's something to look at. I'm confused by the tight end pick of Gavin Escobar. No offense to him whatsoever. It could have been any tight end. But the Dallas Cowboys obviously have Jason Witten. And then in the second round with the 15th pick, 47th overall, you draft Gavin Escobar. So you're drafting for the future when your team doesn't have Jason Witten, but you're not drafting for now. So you're drafting future over now. You have your tight end spot locked up. that's there. He has a good relationship with Tony Romo. Jason Witten, one of the best tight ends in the country when he's having himself a good season. It's been a struggling offense, but Jason Witten could do some work. You bring in Gavin Escobar instead of going to your defensive line, instead of going to linebacker, instead of going to secondary. So it's a big question mark for me that the Dallas Cowboys feel that they can draft a backup or draft for their future instead of drafting for the positions that they need to win games now. Very confusing pick to me. And then looking at another tight end, what of Brent Celek? Brent Celek of the Philadelphia Eagles, what happens to him now? Eagles use their third pick in the second round for the tight end Zach Ertz out of Stanford. So you have Celek on your team, who sometimes works well with Michael Vick, sometimes does not, because Donovan McNabb targeted the tight end more. But now you bring in Zach Ertz, and you do it in such an early pick in the second round, which, if I'm Brent Celek, what I'm hearing from that pick is, you better think about going somewhere else, brother, because this does not look good for him as the team moves forward, making a pick that early for a tight end. And you know, some tight ends going in these early first two rounds, interesting. I think, to me, this is a position that you kind of see later on. You see it maybe, you know, fourth through seventh round. So surprising to see that there is a good number of these tight ends drafted in the first two rounds. But I think the biggest question mark now is, what's Philadelphia going to do with Brent Celek? We'll be right back here, and I'll let you know what I'm going to do with the third round, talking about that and giving you an update on the NFL draft as it happens as we speak, right here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of the Dan Tatora broadcast media family.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Sometimes we can't help how we get injured, but we can help ourselves and how we get better. Hi, I'm Paula Carey from Carey and Daly Physical Therapy. I'm here on Wake Up Call to tell you that currently in New York State, you can be evaluated by a physical therapist without seeing your physician. Some insurance companies will allow up to 9 visits before a prescription is needed. At Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, our experienced staff will evaluate you and start you on a program appropriate for your injury. We know how important feeling good is to you. Let us help you improve your well-being by coming to see us at one of our 5 locations in upstate New York. Carey and Daly Physical Therapy, where we care about your body and are dedicated to helping you get well.
Find the location nearest you at CareyandDalyPT.com. That's Carey and Daleypt.com.
Back here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. Your home where sports meets life every single day. Here for you 24/7, 365 days of the year. If there's another day added or taken away, we're there for that too, folks. Whatever it may be, whatever's going on in your life, you can count on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora and WakeUpCallDT.com with every broadcast, both video and audio, and the written word also to you, and fan events, live opportunities to come out and see me and get yourself involved, prizes that we give away from sponsors and athletes and other sports figures. It's all right here at your disposal. Whenever you need it, it's right here for you. If you miss part of the show when it's aired, if you need to go back and you want to listen to an interview, if you want to get on to the fan line, whatever it may be, there are always opportunities for you on WakeUpCallDT.com. And a new opportunity for you on your phone to connect with the show a lot faster is that there's now an iPhone app that you could get for your phone by going to wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile and clicking quick launch. That will make an icon on your screen providing for you constant sport content whenever you need it. And you can also get it coming up very soon on your Android phones. Over 2,000 phones capable of getting the Android app here, folks. 2,000 different, I shouldn't say 2,000 phones, 2,000 different types of devices that you could get this Android app on. That's coming up very soon as well. All you do is just click on that little icon, be it an Android or an iPhone, and that will take you to all of the shows. You choose the show you want to listen to, click play, and it's right there for you at your disposal. So we're already on iTunes, already out there on wakeupcalldt.com, where many of you are right now. Now we have an iPhone app and an Android app coming. So plenty of different ways to get to you and get you what you need the easiest way possible. I want to thank God for every single opportunity that I have had and everyone who's helped along the way to truly be a wonderful, wonderful supporter, including all of you listening right now, right here to the draft special of Wake Up Call with Dan Satora on wakeupcalldt.com. We did the first round. We went through the second round. And now with the third round, I talked to you about the corners making a jump in the second round. Five corners going in the second round. Well, in the third round, it got even larger than that. Seven cornerbacks taken, three in a row with the sixth, seventh, and eighth picks of the third round. Those being Leon McFadden, who was taken by the Browns, Tyrann Mathieu, who was taken by the Arizona Cardinals. Many people know him as the Honey Badger. We'll talk about him in just a moment here. And also going in the third round is Blitty Ray Wilson, coming out of Connecticut, going to the Tennessee Titans. So those are three of your corners that were drafted back-to-back-to-back, seven in the third round. And then on the other side of it, those who they're covering, five wide receivers taken in the third round after six were taken in the first two rounds combined, three in the first round, three in the second round, five in the third round alone. So there you go. You have your corners and your receivers that they're covering, both being taken in the third round in more of an abundance. The Chiefs want to talk about one of their picks here, not a corner or a wide receiver. Want to make a note, though, they choose their tight end out of Cincinnati, Travis Kelce, with their first pick of the third round. It was the first pick for the third round in its entirety and the 63rd overall pick. 6'5", 255-pound Travis Kelce, a guy that could put some good licks on players out there. This is a guy that played up against Syracuse, played well against Syracuse, helped bring the game in favor of the Cincinnati Bearcats numerous times. A guy who can run, can definitely hit, and can catch the ball. I like this pick by the Chiefs. It's a power guy. It's a guy who's going to create some space for himself, and he's going to be someone that can barrel over some people and command that you get the ball to him. He's not your typical tight end. This is a guy who could catch it and run. I think that he has a lot of positive qualities in the fact that he can really get out there. I think he has more speed than people might give him credit for or might have thought of a tight end position in general, and I think his hitting ability is definitely something to look out for. The Jaguars keep going after coverage, and after getting free safety Cyprian in the second round, they go with cornerback Dwayne Gratz from UConn in the third round here, 64th pick overall. So they go for a free safety in the second, a cornerback in the third. Very, very smart. I like this by the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've needed help in the secondary. They've had a bad secondary throughout the 21st century. Derek Cox, as I had noted, is gone. Rasheen Mathis has been nothing to this team as of late. They need help. So you go out and you go early. They have these early picks, either the number one or number two pick in each round. So you go after free safety Cyprian with the first pick of the second round, and then you take that second pick of the third round and get Dwayne Gratz from the UConn Huskies. So another move by the Jacksonville Jaguars to show that this team is trying to get more defensively prepared. Gus Bradley, being the Seattle Seahawks' former defensive coordinator, now with the Jacksonville Jaguars as their head coach, you could see some of these moves. You kind of wonder, you know, how involved he is into all these decisions going on, how much of a percentage is his word, but you'd like to think that he has a lot of involvement in here with Khan and everybody else is sitting in that draft room for the Jacksonville Jaguars to make these picks, with the Seattle Seahawks having had one of the best secondaries in the entire country last season, going up against the likes of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and taking them both down, going up against 49ers and being competitive against them as well. So you like to think that Gus Bradley knows what he's talking about, and if he was a big part of of getting Cyprian and Gratz, then that's obviously something that you can have as a Jacksonville fan sleep a little bit better, knowing that Jacksonville's going after the secondary and that your new head coach already knows what it's like to put together a good secondary. UConn, on their side, for the collegiate side, had three players drafted in the top eight of round three. Gratz went number two. Outside linebacker C.O. Moore went at number four by the Raiders in the third round. And cornerback Blitty Ray Wilson, who I brought up, went at number eight to the Tennessee Titans. So UConn having a good third round. And the Cardinals, who I had mentioned before, got Tyrann Mathieu, who is known to many people as being the Honey Badger. The interesting part about this story, if you don't know the story of the Honey Badger, is that he was actually given this name. Mathieu was given this name by the fact of a good game that he had playing for the LSU Tigers. The team's on the plane, they're heading back home, and one of the coaches pulled up the Honey Badger video, which is on my Facebook, facebook.com/wakeupcallDT, and it's also on Twitter at CallDT. That's CallDT. So he pulls up this video, and it makes him think about the fact that Mathieu is a smaller guy, the Honey Badger's smaller, but fearless. So you draw your similarities here, and this coach drew up some similarities between the two, allegedly, and then all of a sudden shows this video to the teammates, who start referring to Mathieu as the Honey Badger for what he was capable of doing, for being a guy that maybe size-wise you don't think much of, but was afraid of no one, went out there, made hits, got interceptions, got himself involved in the play, and was a strong player for the LSU Tigers. So that's where the name kind of originates from, but the origin of Mathieu is a tough story. You know, having a mother who decided not to take care of him after having a few children, and then being raised by other family, but going through problems with drugs, getting kicked off the LSU Tigers team, not being able to play collegiately for all of this past season. So you got to think about the fact that he's getting picked up by the Arizona Cardinals after having a year off from football. And you could go out there and you can catch, you can work on your vertical, you can do different cone drills, you can run, you can play pickup football and whatnot, but nothing simulates what it's like to play the actual game of football. So you have to wonder how ready Mathieu is to go out there and get the job done. Can he go out there and be an immediate impact on the Arizona Cardinals? They need help. They need everyone that they draft to be an immediate impact if they want to be relevant. So the question is, where do they go from here? You know, they need offensive line help, but they go out and they get Mathieu as a corner. And the question is, what can he do from here? He's trying to shed the Honey Badger. He checked into rehab. He's trying to get himself better. He's gotten in trouble with marijuana numerous times. And so now where he sits is in this place of, you don't know what's going to happen. He's had drug problems. He's obviously very vocal on Twitter, which can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what you're saying and the fact that you're saying it to the entire world when you're on there. And he's also had success. So this is going to be interesting, whether or not the Arizona Cardinals are getting a product that is going to go out there and be an immediate impact, if they're going to purchase this product and have immediate positive results, or if they're going to purchase this product and have to work on the product itself. It's kind of like buying a model car. You're wondering if Mathieu is going to be this model car that you're buying that's already painted and everything's done on it, all the intricacies, and you could just put it up on the mantle and that's it. Or are you buying this model car that you have to assemble yourself piece by piece, and then you have to paint it, and then you have to wait for it to dry, and then put it up on the mantle? Where he's going to be, is he somewhere in between the model car that's done and the one you have to create, is going to be a big question mark. And Arizona definitely is a team that needs to have, like I said before, a quick upswing. So it'll be interesting to see how much of an impact he can be and how long it takes him to be an impact for the Arizona Cardinals and where they go from here. Quarterback-wise, from cornerback to quarterback, they sound the same if you say them fast. Third quarterback off the board, Mike Glennon from NC State. The Bucks take him with the 11th pick in the third round, 73rd pick overall. Ryan Nassib still on the board. Matt Barkley still on the board. So they take a guy like Mike Glennon. You look at the fact that they have Josh Freeman. Now, Freeman's had some good moments for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's had some positive moments. He's been able to lead the team at times. He's shown his arm strength at times. But I'm looking at this team. I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And one of my questions that I said before with Jonathan Banks is, are they expecting him to be there right away? He's drafted early in the second round. They already got Goldson as a safety and Revis as a corner to come onto their team and be veteran impacts. Are they asking a guy like Banks to be an immediate impact? Mike Glennon, are they thinking of the future? Are they thinking this guy is going to be our future down the road after Josh Freeman? Are they wary of Freeman, thinking, well, this could be more of an open competition, or maybe we're thinking about him being here within the next couple seasons as the starter? Is he a good enough player to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that they just want to have a backup that's capable behind a guy like Josh Freeman? A lot of questions here with this pick by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll have to see what it actually spans out to, what it's going to be over the course of Mike Glennon's career. Is he really going to get on the field for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? So this is another pick that I've keyed in on. Third quarterback, three quarterbacks in three rounds. This being the third, Mike Glennon chosen. And the question mark is, where does he fit in Tampa Bay? Then, the Panthers and the 49ers helped the Cowboys to get to the 12th pick of the third round, 74th overall, right after this pick of Mike Glennon. And the Cowboys use it on a wide receiver, Terrence Williams out of Baylor. And this, to me, this is a good pick, because the Dallas Cowboys need weapons. Here's the thing. You need to have enough weapons to Tony Romo, because having the help of Dez Bryant is great. It's great. Now, Dez Bryant can affect, okay? He's a physical specimen. He can catch the ball. You've seen games, if you paid attention to the Cowboys, where he can really be something. But Dez Bryant has off-the-field issues. Dez Bryant can be a little bit of a personality that's not the easiest to deal with at times. So you have a guy like Dez Bryant, and he can be a question mark for you. So you don't know if you're always going to have him. Jason Witten goes quiet at times. Miles Austin's been shut up since he had that good season where nobody knew who he was. Now they know who he is, and they're able to make up for that. So to have more weapons, you're trying to not only add another opportunity in Terrence Williams, but you're trying to add opportunities to Dez Bryant, add opportunities to Jason Witten, and add opportunities to Miles Austin, because you want to take some pressure off of these guys. Terrence Williams, I like the pick. He came from a Baylor program that obviously knows how to move the ball, knows how to score. RG3 coming from that program. So I like the pick of Terrence Williams, because I like that the Cowboys are taking a wide receiver in the first three rounds. I think that that gives me some type of a notion that they care about this position, growing, scoring on the offense. So I'm very interested to seeing what Terrence Williams can be to the team. And the other thing I know is that the Cowboys, and I know it's a common name, but for the Cowboys, they love the Williamses. Sherman Williams, who was a running back, Roy Williams, a wide receiver, Roy Williams, who was a safety, and now Terrence Williams. So it seems like every single year, Jerry Jones has to have a Williams on his roster in that 53-man somewhere, somehow, some way, and he's got it now, getting Terrence Williams in the third round. And then the Bills, who got this pick from the trade that helped the Rams get Tavon Austin out of West Virginia, the Bills draft a wide receiver with the pick that they got from the Rams in the third round, Marquise Goodwin out of Texas, who's another speed guy. So you're putting speed on top of speed for the Buffalo Bills offense. You get a guy like Goodwin, you add him to Woods, and now I'm seeing even more and more of this no-huddle, fast-paced type of Bills offense that the Syracuse Orange instituted into that program that the Syracuse staff put there in this past season. And now you look at the Buffalo Bills and essentially taking that same staff, moving it over and instituting something like this, going after speed guys and going after a receiver in the second round and a receiver in the third round. So something to say here about the Buffalo Bills looking to be more electrifying, I would say, on the offense. And the Cowboys later on finally go for the secondary. They go after free safety out of Georgia Southern, J.J. Wilcox, at number 18 in the third round, 80th overall. Finally, a free safety, any safety, any corner, anyone in the secondary, the Dallas Cowboys finally go after somebody. So that's good to see. The Cowboys need secondary help. They constantly struggle with their secondary. And here you are with a guy like J.J. Wilcox, who I'd like to say to him, this is an open competition. No matter what they tell you, what they say, Jerry Jones, whatnot, to me, this is an open competition. So he should have just as good of a chance as anybody. If I'm Jerry Jones, I'm giving him an opportunity. But if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm also going to make better with the opportunities that he already had in the draft here, which I think they could have done. They could have been better in certain areas, including not drafting a tight end in the second round. The Rams, I want to make a note of one of their picks here. The pick came via the Falcons. They join West Virginia teammates and both wide receivers. They join Tavon Austin with Stedman Bailey. Stedman Bailey, the 30th pick in the third round, 92nd overall. I love stories like this. They go up and they draft, they get up the board, they trade with the Bills, they get up to the 8th pick, they take the first receiver in the entire draft, Tavon Austin. Then, in the 4th round, here they are, or pardon me, the 3rd round, just sitting here, having a pick late, just about to end the 3rd round, end the 2nd day, Stedman Bailey's still on the board from West Virginia, you grab him, you put him on your team. There was a good relationship between the Rams wide receivers beforehand. When you had your Isaac Bruce and your Torrey Holt, there were those positive relationships that both of these guys just really worked well together in the offense. It's why you saw so much success, because both of them were able to, you know, and maybe there were egos at some point, but both of them eventually were able to put the egos behind themselves and get in a position to be such a strong offensive unit and allowing one to be on one side, one to be on the other. Wide receiver, wide open for the St. Louis Rams. Now you have Stedman Bailey potentially in one area, Tavon Austin on the other side. If you could set these two guys up on opposite sides of the field and let Sam Bradford throw downfield to these guys, you're looking at a team that could definitely be electrifying with the St. Louis Rams. I think Sam Bradford's going to have fun out there this year. So this is a pick that I like. I'm very happy to see this pick. This is a good pick. And I agree with it. I think it's a good opportunity for Stedman Bailey and Tavon Austin to grow together. So that's my view of the third round. And with the fourth round also completed, let's take a look at what the fourth round looked like. A lot of people still on the board. Matt Barkley was still on the board, which I'm only surprised in the sense that I think he was hyped more. I wouldn't want to put him on my team, as I had stated before. I don't really see him as being a quarterback that's going to change anything in a positive light to get me into a Super Bowl opportunity or a championship game opportunity. But nevertheless, I was surprised that Matt Barkley's name was still there, because his name has been big. His name has obviously been something that has come up over and over and over again. So surprised in the sense of his name, not surprised in the sense that I really wouldn't waste a pick on getting Matt Barkley. Looking at the rest of the guys on the board, I'm surprised with two guys that obviously I've been around a lot covering Syracuse Orange football program. Shamarco Thomas, very surprised he was still on the board. And then also looking at a guy, Ryan Nassib, still on the board with three quarterbacks chosen in the first three rounds, and Ryan Nassib not being one of those quarterbacks was startling to me as well. Fourth round starts, Matt Barkley, the Philadelphia Eagles get the pick from the Jaguars. The Jaguars just swap picks. They go from number one in the fourth round to number four, where the Philadelphia Eagles were, so that the Eagles could get Matt Barkley. They must have thought at this point they got to grab him. They don't want to wait any longer. So they pick up Barkley, and now I essentially see an open competition for Chip Kelly and this new Philadelphia Eagles team, where you have a guy like Nick Foles who spent some time out on the field, but not much, really doesn't know what it's like to be a starter yet in the NFL. Now you have Matt Barkley. You add in Michael Vick and Dennis Dixon, who used to play for Oregon. And so obviously Chip Kelly, familiar with Dennis Dixon. He spent some time on the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's been a backup, third stringer. Now he's on the Eagles, and it kind of looks like everybody has an open audition here, especially with Matt Barkley coming out. That's saying something to Michael Vick, because I think that Vick really just has a season to see if he works in this offense. You know, if Chip Kelly wants to have this running offense, you know, where you could just get out there and do, you know, you want, where you don't necessarily want Michael Vick to drop back and shotgun a lot. You just want him to be in formations where he's close to the line and give him the opportunity to run. Then obviously he fits that. He's not what he used to be, but he does fit that, as opposed to being a shotgun type of quarterback. Matt Barkley has become successful because he had speed around him. So if you want a fast-paced offense, you got Michael Vick, who you essentially could be putting close to the line, letting him be fast-paced and run. Matt Barkley likes to throw to guys that are fast-paced guys after they catch the ball. And then, you know, you look at Dennis Dixon, who's a guy who can use his legs as well, and Nick Foles being more of the guy where you don't really know where he's going to lock into. Is he going to be a guy that can take off and run a lot, or is he someone that's going to want to drop back? So to me, it's an open competition at this point if you're drafting a guy like Matt Barkley. And for the Philadelphia Eagles, I thought with keeping Michael Vick that he would be given 1 year of an opportunity, but this may be different going into training camp. Looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars, what they did with their pick, they go after wide receiver Ace Sanders out of South Carolina. This is a guy who makes some good moves in traffic, can make more than one defender miss. I like the fact that they're going after a wide receiver. But at the same time, you have Justin Blackmon. You have Cecil Shorts III. You have talent at wide receiver. Now you add talent with Ace Sanders at wide receiver. But you're not drafting a quarterback. So essentially, you look like you're still going with Blaine Gabbert, who's 5-19 as a starter. And after he got injured, and this is the thing to me, Blaine Gabbert had to get injured for Chad Henne to get the starting job for the Jaguars. A guy who, no, he didn't win a Super Bowl. No, he wasn't a playoff phenom, but at least he knew how to win games. Blaine Gabbert had to literally not be able to play on the field in order to give Chad Henne an opportunity. And you look at Blaine Gabbert's record, some of the games that he ends with 6 or 7, 9 completions, 73 yards, nothing to boast of. Maurice Jones-Drew having to do all the work a couple seasons ago. This guy not being able to lead the Jaguars out of anywhere, including a paper bag. And I think Blaine Gabbert's more, it would be better company-wise, organization-wise, for Blaine Gabbert to maybe be a guy who you put on the side of California surfboards. Maybe you make him a Hollister model. But I don't find him to be a quarterback in the NFL. I think he's proven that. And now you have Ace Sanders coming in. So you essentially have potentially 3 wide receivers that are going to be good out there for you, that are going to find ways to get themselves open in their routes and give you opportunities. But now you're expecting Blaine Gabbert to throw to them when Chad Henne, in a condensed amount of time, brought the Houston Texans in overtime, forced them to score 40-plus points, found ways to win games, and even in losses, Chad Henne was competitive. Blaine Gabbert's not competitive. He had one good game where he threw the ball over the middle to Cecil Shorts, but Shorts gets the majority of that catch to me because he had to reach out, got his fingertips on the ball, which was actually thrown too far outside of his body. He reeled it in and then ran down the field and got into the end zone against the Indianapolis Colts for the first win for the Jaguars out of only 2 wins that they had the whole season, going 2-14. So Blaine Gabbert's best game still was not him making the best plays out there. I don't see it. He's had a couple of seasons to show it. I'm not sold. I'm not going to be sold unless he somehow shocks the entire world in this season. So I like that the Jaguars are getting wide receivers, but I disagree that with Ryan Nassib still on the board, they didn't take him with that pick instead of Ace Sanders in that case. Nothing against Ace Sanders. Just in order to have a receiving corps that can do anything beneficial, you have to be able to get them the ball. They're directly affected by the lack of play of Blaine Gabbert, which we've seen. So I don't know what keeping Blaine Gabbert under center is really going to do for the Jaguars moving forward, because it hasn't done anything positive as of late or at all. Later on in the fourth round, 13th and 14th pick of the fourth round, both picks coming from help from others. The Giants got the pick from the help of the San Diego Chargers and Arizona Cardinals. Steelers got their pick from the Dolphins and the Cleveland Browns, help from there. 13th pick, we'll start with that one. The Giants in the fourth round pick up none other than Ryan Nassib from Syracuse, quarterback, to rejoin him with the man that protected him, Mr. Justin Pugh, offensive lineman. Ryan Nassib and Justin Pugh, just like Tavon Austin and Stedman Bailey of West Virginia, are now teammates both collegiately and professionally. Ryan Nassib will have time under the tutelage of Eli Manning, and this is what I said. I said it may take 2 years. It may take 2 years on the bench before you see Ryan Nassib as a starter. This is going to be great for him. A two-time Super Bowl champion, a team that knows how to grind it out, and Eli Manning, who has found success with different receivers and different running backs, Tom Coughlin, who came from Syracuse. And here's the irony to me. Tom Coughlin was a former fullback for the Syracuse Orange. He drafts two Syracuse alum, and he's a Syracuse alum. Doug Marrone is a Syracuse alum and former Syracuse head coach who knows the talent of his players, doesn't draft Ryan Nassib or Justin Pugh. Interesting. It's very, very interesting to me. Ryan Nassib becoming a New York Giant, have time to learn under Eli Manning, one of the best players that you can learn under out of any quarterback in the NFL. He gets that opportunity, and then I think from there, you know, depending on where Eli Manning is in his career, it could be Ryan Nassib's time there, or it could be a couple seasons in New York and then a trade where Ryan Nassib will have an opportunity to leave and become a starting quarterback after his time on the New York Giants. But either way, I think it's a good pick. I know that this is good as far as Justin Pugh and Ryan Nassib. I'm sure they're both happy about this. They stay on a New York team. Technically, they're playing in New Jersey, both close to home. So for Ryan Nassib, a good pick, a good opportunity for him to really learn, to not have to go too far away from Syracuse, and to put himself in a position to be prepared, because I believe, like I said, he will have a decade in the NFL, and those first two seasons might be sitting on the bench, but I think there's many good things to come from Ryan Nassib. The 14th pick that I had mentioned with Nassib, that going to the Steelers, who had help from the Dolphins and the Browns, as I stated, they go out and they get Shamarco Thomas, the safety out of Syracuse, a great pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can't think of a better team for a consummate professional on the defense to go to than the Steel Curtain, the defensively sound history of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not so much right now. Their defense has struggled a lot. Palomalu has had injuries. The rest of the defense has had trouble. The Pittsburgh Steelers secondary really hasn't been anything to boast of lately. And now you bring in a guy like Shamarco Thomas, who doesn't have to go too far away from Virginia, where his family is, caring for his siblings, trying to take care of all the children that were left behind from the passing of his mother and father. Off the field, such a good man. On the field, a professional that has speed, hard-hitting ability. In the combine, out of 60 defensive backs, be them corners, be them safeties, free safety, strong safety, anyone in the secondary, when it came to defensive backs, he led all 60, there were 59 under him in 4 out of 5 categories that he participated in the NFL Combine before the draft. Shamarco Thomas, one of those guys that stood at the bottom of the hill in the middle of the night, put his car in neutral, and would push it up the hill in order to train himself on top of the training that Syracuse was already giving him. Shamarco Thomas, a lot of respect for what he's been able to do. He's got a knack for the ball, sniffing out interceptions. He's only gotten better. He made a good jump from his junior season, where I critique the fact that he is a hard hitter who's fast, but he needs to learn how to be able to change direction and motion. I think you still can work there a little bit. I think, you know, like Rhino of the Spider-Man comics, if you're unfamiliar, Rhino could take down any building, any type of establishment. He could take it down by running straight at it and how hard he hit it. But if Rhino was running forward and at the last second Spider-Man got away, Rhino was going into the building and he's going to get his horn stuck in the building and he falls down with the rubble. Now, he'll eventually get out of it, but that stops him for a minute. Shemarco Thomas was the same type of thing in his second to last season. He could run at you with the speed and hit you hard, but if you made a move and went around him in the backfield, he wasn't going to get you. Now I think Shemarco has gotten better. He's definitely a hard hitter. He puts everything on the line on every single play. I have a lot of respect for that. He's got a lot of power. He's not a guy that you could judge by size at all. He's 5'9", 213. He's all muscle. This is someone who is going to give you everything he possibly has to give you. I think Mike Tomlin's really going to help him out because I think Mike Tomlin is a good leader. And I know that Shemarco can get serious and get down to the game. I think being on the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, he could bring this defense back into a place where they are feared again. I think Shemarco's marriage with the Pittsburgh Steelers can truly, truly be a great one because that defense is built on smacking you in the mouth, getting after you, making you pay for playing offense against them. Shemarco Thomas is one of those guys that wants to remind you who put the hit on you out there on the field. A clean hit, not a dirty player. This is a guy who is going to go out there, and I think that he can make the Steelers fear it again. So a very good pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers to go out and get him. Another quarterback chosen right after Nassib out of Arkansas, Tyler Wilson. He goes to the Raiders. That comes from the Buccaneers. So what the Raiders can do with Tyler Wilson, the Raiders never really have a quarterback ever since Rich Gannon and their run to the Super Bowl. So Tyler Wilson, what I have to say to you is consider it an open competition and go out there and go after it and see what you can do. Landry Jones goes to the Steelers. This is a good pickup because Ben Roethlisberger's been getting banged up lately. So Landry Jones can make himself that number two. You see with the Steelers last season, they're going out and looking for guys, you know, going, trying to re-sign people. Charlie Batch has been there forever. So when Ben Roethlisberger goes down and then you have more injuries, you don't have Dennis Dixon anymore. You know, there was the Byron Leftwich days, Charlie Batch, calling on all these players and having to go deeper and deeper into your bench because of the injury to Ben Roethlisberger. If Landry Jones can be a healthy guy, a strong body guy who could take a hit and get back up, he could put himself in a position to get a few snaps this season, and if Roethlisberger goes down, potentially play a few games this season. Kasim Green, outside linebacker out of Rutgers, he goes to the Bears. This is a team that's been known for their defense forever. I would like to think that Mark Trestman's going to try and make them more of a balanced team if they want to be successful, which they really weren't against with Lovie Smith as their head coach. And I know people are going to say, well, Dan, they made the Super Bowl. But seriously, Rex Grossman had a passer rating of 2 when they made the Super Bowl. Chicago Bears, Indianapolis Colts. And I was asked the question, who are you picking to win the Super Bowl? And I looked at them expressionless and I said, really? Are you serious? Is anybody picking the Chicago Bears? Picking them just to do it, to have a bold pick, that if they're right, they could say, I was one of 5 people that was right. The Chicago Bears aren't known for offense. So trying to institute an offense is going to be a task for Trestman, but a good thing for his defense is you make yourself stronger here with Kasim Green out there for the Chicago Bears now on the team. I think he's a guy that could get out there right away. I would expect him to get out there right away. So, and then Trevardo Williams, he continues the UConn players. And it's funny to me because Syracuse's defense was a strong defense throughout the season, especially on that 7-2 run that they had, 6-2 to end the regular season and then winning the Pinstripe Bowl. A sound defense that was only getting better. And when I look at the draft, I'm not seeing their defensive players go. Deion Goggins still on the board. You know, a guy like Brandon Sharp who could be worth picking up for training camp. Trevardo Williams goes from UConn, but really had games, including the game against Syracuse, where I'm not overly impressed. So UConn having a good draft, but interesting on how some of these picks are going here, not really on the side of a team like Syracuse with some guys that are still on the board. And then we look into the fifth round here for the NFL draft. I love this pick by the Jaguars. Love this pick by the Jaguars, okay? It's not technically a quarterback. Not technically a quarterback. He's marked down as a wide receiver, but out of Michigan, a man who can run the ball and pass the ball, who has done phenomenal things. And when I was down in Florida, this man was putting together his initial records, his initial showcase, his initial highlight reel, Denard Robinson. I love this pick by the Jaguars. The reason why I love it is because you're essentially getting a quarterback, a running back, and a wide receiver in one pick. Love this pick. They've never had a slash player, so I could definitely appreciate this for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Great pick. Great steal in the fifth round. That's a pick that I definitely I love that pick. I think that could pay off dividends for them as the fifth round, sixth round, and seventh rounds will go on here, folks. Want to make a note, as I promised, of going back and looking at these late rounds and the fact that steals do come in the late rounds of the NFL draft. There are people that you could find in these late rounds that you can't just sleep on it. I think a few of the Syracuse players that are good to take in these rounds are Zach Chabane, who can play guard, center, or tackle, most recently playing guard for Syracuse. A guy that it's a big-bodied guy who can lock up the left side. He truly helped out. He was one of the most consistent offensive linemen on Syracuse, consistently good. He works with special teams. He has a lot to offer. Just a very, very, when it comes to being an offensive lineman, somebody that you could count on, someone who you could feel comfortable running the ball with him in front of you, and someone you can also feel comfortable protecting the quarterback. Zach Chabane, if you're going to draft a guy like Justin Pugh in the first round and you don't look at Zach Chabane, you're doing yourself a disservice, because he was right next to Justin Pugh, Justin being right to his left. So to not look at one knowing the success of the other would be crazy for somebody to do. So I hope that someone takes a look at a guy like Zach Chabane, because I really think that he is worth drafting, and I think he could do something good for a team like the Arizona Cardinals, who really need help on the offensive line and whatnot. So that would be a pick. Deion Goggins, who I mentioned, this is a guy who's a professional. He's going to work for you tirelessly, do whatever he needs to do to get himself on the field, keep himself on the field. I like a Deion Goggins pick. He came out of junior college, out of California, went over to Syracuse, had a good, you know, had good work, put good work ethic, strong, went out there in his final season, wasn't hearing a lot from Tim Douse, the defensive line coach for Syracuse, because he was doing what needs to be done. I think Deion Goggins is a guy who's going to give any offense hell as much as they possibly can. He's going to give them everything that he possibly can. A very, very spiritual guy, a guy that can be a leader in your locker room, a leader off the field, and a leader on the field. Definitely someone to look at. And then also a guy like Alec Lemon. I thought he was a fourth round wide receiver. Would like to see him go, obviously, within this draft, because I feel like he's deserving, definitely the fifth round, deserving of that. He's a steal. I've said before, if, you know, people worry about his speed, and he's made some comments about wanting to be faster, but at the end of the day, Usain Bolt is not in the NFL. A bunch of track stars from around the globe are not in the NFL. If it was all about running, then you put those guys in. But Alec Lemon has the ability to run his routes, whatever routes you need him to run. He knows the game. He knows where to go. He has the wherewithal to put himself out there. He thinks the relationship between quarterback and wide receiver is very, very important, and works on that off the field and on the field. He's a guy that's going to go out for you and catch whatever you throw at him to the best of his ability. He'll go up and get it. He'll go out to the side and get it. He'll get it over the middle, which some receivers don't like to do. And he challenges you. If he catches two or three straight passes, he'll want that ball again, and he'll challenge you to come out and take it from him. So I think a guy like Alec Lemon could definitely help out any team. And he also has the ability to throw the ball, so you can use him in the wildcat or a flea flicker opportunity or a reverse if you want to go down the field. So anyone who gets Alec Lemon, I think, is getting a receiver that could definitely be a number three out on the field for you, a number four to start off even, somebody that can be a guy that's going to be on your team for a while. And I think that Alec Lemon is deserving of being in the NFL because I know that he'll work hard, and I think that he's definitely somebody who is, you know, I mean, you look at career receptions, nobody's caught more passes at Syracuse than him. He's one of only three 1,000-yard receivers within one season. It says a lot about his work. It says a lot about what he's tried to do to advance himself through his time at Syracuse. He waited his turn, and he got out there and got consistently better. I think that that says a lot to an NFL franchise, should say a lot to an NFL franchise. So that's my take on who's left. I think Brandon Sharp, defensive end for Syracuse, and Marcus Sales, wide receiver, find their way into a training camp. I think that that's safe to say. And I think Alec Lemon, Deion Goggins, Zach Chabane should definitely be picked up by someone within the last few rounds of the NFL draft. And looking at those last few rounds, going back to last year from the fourth round to the seventh round, I want to talk to you on the third day when there were good picks, steals in hindsight of players that were able to come out of these late rounds, teams that took opportunities late to get someone that really helped them out. One of them being the seventh pick in the fourth round of 2012, 102nd overall, after taking Robert Griffin III, better known as RG3, the Washington Redskins went out and took Kirk Cousins from Michigan State, another quarterback who potentially could go out there and fight for a starting job. He gets his opportunity when RG3 goes down and shows signs of success. Now offering Washington a type of atmosphere where you essentially have a starting quarterback, a guy who's working to be a starting quarterback, right behind your starting quarterback. So Washington lucks out with getting two guys in 2012 at quarterback, one early, one late, both of them having success in their first season in the NFL. Other players coming on the third day of the NFL draft of 2012 that really showed up in their first season in the NFL, a guy like Vic Ballard coming as the 35th pick of the fifth round, 170th overall. He was a compensatory pick for the Indianapolis Colts. They get him. He ends up going out there and having to be a starter for them out of Mississippi State. Vic Ballard having some good moments in his initial season in the NFL. Sixth round, first pick, 171st overall, worked to be the starting kicker and had some definitely noticeable kicks in 2012. St. Louis Rams kicker Greg Zuerlein, who came out of Missouri Western, picked up in the sixth round once again. Alfred Morris, third pick in the sixth round, 173rd overall, another guy to the Washington Redskins. This pick came from the Minnesota Vikings. Alfred Morris coming out of Florida Atlantic, he makes splashes for himself. Alfred Morris getting in the talks of, you know, should he have been Rookie of the Year? He was one of those guys at conversation along with his teammate Robert Griffin III. Blair Walsh, who went to Minnesota, who got the pick from the Cleveland Browns, 175th overall, fifth in the sixth round. Like Greg Zuerlein out of this draft, worked his way to become the starting kicker and definitely had some good plays for the Minnesota Vikings in his initial season. So you look at that, at the sixth round of last year's draft, and you have Greg Zuerlein in that draft, and at the same time you have Blair Walsh right in there, sixth round, right before the final round, two kickers that end up becoming starters. And then you have to look at the seventh round and all the way down toward the bottom, the man before, who's known as Mr. Irrelevant, which is the 253rd pick, the 252nd overall pick, 45th in the seventh round, as a compensatory pick, went to the St. Louis Rams, who obviously have been dealing off and on with injuries to Steven Jackson when they had him. Darrell Richardson comes out from Abilene Christian. He gets out there, he gets himself going, and he gives some help to Steven Jackson. He gives some help as another option at running back. And with Steven Jackson gone, now Gerald Richardson can fight for the starting job after being the second to the last player drafted in 2012. So, I want to caution everyone who doesn't pay attention to day three. This is the day of steals. It's a big day. This is the day where the excitement truly builds because there's more rounds than in the first day. There's only one. Second day, there's two. But in this day of the final day, four different rounds. Plenty of players that come up, guys out of the woodwork, guys you didn't know, guys you forgot about, guys who fell. It's a great, great day to see who these players are and then to look back on them next year, which we'll do here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com as we're doing right now with 2012. Mr. Irrelevant last year, 2012, was the Indianapolis Colts pick, a compensatory pick. 253rd overall, 46th in the seventh round, Chandler Harnish, Northern Illinois quarterback. Who will be Mr. Irrelevant from the 2013 NFL Draft? We'll talk about that on the next Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. And what happens to Syracuse alum that are still out there trying to find a job after Ryan Nassib, Justin Pugh, and Shebarko Thomas get a home? We'll talk about that too, and so much more. Thank you for joining this special draft edition of Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora here on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of the Dan Tatora Broadcast Media family. A special thanks to Carvel DeWitt and Carrion Daily Physical Therapy, who you heard from. And I want to give a thanks also to Drysick Apparel, who makes apparel for any sports team or any program anywhere. You have a golf tournament? Drysick Apparel. You have a high school team that needs new jerseys? Drysick Apparel. When it comes to finding great quality product that you can put on and truly feel professional, truly know that it's durable, it's going to go out there on the football field and be good for you, it's going to go into the office and to the meetings and the public speaking and be good for you, be it a polo, be it a t-shirt, be it a jersey, whatever it is, be it a hat, Drysick Apparel is the place to go to. That's where I go for all my Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora shirts for men and women, the white line for the men, the pink line for the women, which you can also use for breast cancer events, and for all of our hats going to Drysick Apparel, folks. This is a team of professionals working on these products led by Mark Jones. You definitely have to look into Drysick Apparel. You can go and look at their products and see what fits you for what you need right now at this time in your life. Go out right now to the homepage when you're done listening here on WakeUpCallDT.com. And right on the bottom, if you scroll down, Drysick Apparel is right there. You could click on it and see everything that they have. And Drysick Apparel also has a lady line. You want to check that out too, not just for your men's apparel, but also for your women's sports apparel and everything else you need for the team that you're on, for your little one that you're starting off a team with. If you're a soccer coach like me and you want to go out and you want to get jerseys for your team, a great place to go also for Drysick Apparel. Linking your loved ones to great quality products every single day. And a big thanks to FanHands.com as well. FanHands providing for you an inexpensive way to be an extremely loud fan at your next sporting event. These FanHands, you put them on and they make your clap louder. Essentially, as simple as that, you put on these gloves, favorite color that you have. You know, if you're a team cheers on Syracuse, orange, you could get orange, you could get blue. Michigan State, get your forest green. If you're a fan of Oregon, you could pretty much get any color. But you put on these fan hands, get out there and start clapping. It enhances your clap, essentially enhancing the fan base that you're a part of, making you loud to show your team the support that you want to show them. The cost is inexpensive, and you could put those fan hands on and be the loudest. As far as on your way to the game, be the loudest in the parking lot, and then be the loudest when you're going out to that game on the field, on the court, wherever you may be. When it comes to cheering on your team, FanHands.com allows you to do it. So simple, folks. And you can get to it right on WakeUpCallDT.com right here. Click on the fan corner page above, and all you have to do is follow the simple instructions for hands to answer the call. And when you purchase your fan hands, you will be donating part of your part of the money that you put into fan hands will be going to the victims of Hurricane Sandy. The more fan hands you buy, the more money goes to Hurricane Sandy victims. So support a good cause while you're supporting your team. and do it through fanhands.com and wakeupcalldt.com right here on the Fan Corner page located right above. Click there. Everything else is easy from there. Simple directions. Thank you to everyone who is a part of this, listening in, everyone that's a part of the Dan Tatora Broadcast Media family. And first and foremost, and always, I want to thank God for waking me up today to talk to you and to bring you something that I love to do, to live my dream every moment of my life. I couldn't do it without God, Mom, Dad, my grandmothers. My grandma just passed away, rest in peace. And also to my grandfathers, rest in peace. My first two dogs, rest in peace. My dog here, Shady, who's like having a little sister. My girlfriend, Kate. Everyone that is a part of my life, my best friends. Want to just show a lot of love to Evan, Ross, everybody out there that's done great things. I thank you for all the hard work that you put in my life. And when I say has done great things, I mean being there for me, always supporting me, and knowing me better than I know myself sometimes, and believing in me like I should believe in myself. If it wasn't for you, maybe I wouldn't be here today doing what I'm doing. Do never, ever, ever overlook the guardian angels in your lives, folks. I'll talk to you very soon. God bless. Have fun. Let's get drafting. We'll talk about the rest of the draft the next time we talk. Love the NFL draft. It's like I don't even know how to describe it. I won't say it's Christmas because I respect God and I respect that holiday and the birth of Jesus. So I won't say it's like Christmas. But what I will say is it's kind of like you feel like you're involved. Like it's somehow going to affect your life who gets chosen. So I definitely appreciate it, and I'm happy that the NFL does it every single year. We'll talk very soon here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora and on wakeupcalldt.com in general. For those of you using the iPhone app and for the Android app to come, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. This is Dan Tatora Broadcast Media's Wake Up Call DT.com.